Okay, are we ready to go? Great. Parents always want a better future for their children. My parents wanted it for me, I wanted it for my children, and my children want it for their children, my brilliant, perfect grandchildren. After World War II, a better future seemed possible for every single child. It was called the American Dream, and it came true for many in my generation. Today, the American Dream may not be dead, but it is surely on life support. The path to the American Dream was always a better education. Good schools and Iowa were simply synonymous. Our kids did better on test scores and college entrance tests than almost any other state. We were proud, and we had a right to be proud. However, the world has changed. Our preeminence in the world depends on keeping our innovative edge. We cannot afford for our educational system to be second to China or India's or Japan's or anybody else's. We can do better. In fact, we must do better. This is not just about a better future for our children. It's about the future of our country. It's about a vibrant, growing economy. I've developed this plan to make sure that the current generation of our children will indeed have their own shot at the American Dream. We know now that education begins almost at birth. We also know that those who attend good preschools do better throughout their education and in the marketplace. Iowa now makes sure that every single four-year-old can attend a quality preschool taught by qualified teachers if that's what their parents want. I'd like to see that extended nationwide and provided at even earlier ages. Preschool is even more important for children living in poverty. A Rand Corporation study in 2006 said well-designed programs for disadvantaged children age 4 and younger can produce economic benefits worth up to $17 for each $1 that we spend on those programs. We must impose high standards across all publicly funded early learning settings, develop new programs to improve opportunities and to improve outcomes, and engage parents in their child's early learning and development, and of course, improve the early education workforce. Head Start funding is a wise investment in the future, both for our children and for our nation. However, the National Institute for Early Education Research shows that the lack of funding for this program is preventing Head Start from meeting its goals. I have a B. As a result, I would like to see Head Start and similar programs better funded so that all our children have the chance to succeed in school and in life. Unfortunately, my opponent does not agree, having voted at least 14 times against measures to increase funding for Head Start. In terms of K-12 education, No Child Left Behind was the federal education initiative for the past decade. The goals were certainly correct: to improve the quality of education our children receive, to close the achievement gap that occurs in many schools, and see that more students graduate from high school, ready for the workforce, or ready for a higher education. This is one reason why I insisted that the Microsoft lawsuit settlement include $60 million for Iowa's public schools to use for computer and technology improvement. No Child Left Behind has failed because it has never been adequately funded, and it took the wrong approach. Any parent can tell you that, No Child Left Behind failed because it has never been adequately funded and it took the wrong approach. Any parent can tell you that rewarding success is far more beneficial than punishing failure. Yet No Child Left Behind punishes schools that cannot meet certain standards. Now, those schools do need to meet standards, but we need to help them to do so, not just by providing more money, although that is a part of the solution, but also encouraging our best and brightest teachers to teach in those schools, and by encouraging parents to become involved in their child's education. Why not write off a year of student loan payments for each year a teacher works at a low-achieving school? Why not provide money for school supplies to those schools so teachers don't need to dip into their own pockets for paper and pencils? Now, not only do teachers have to purchase school supplies for their own classrooms, Senator Grassley has voted to prevent them from deducting the cost of those supplies from their income taxes. This cost teachers, including 34,000 Iowa teachers, $813 million per year out of their own pockets. And why not reward small businesses that let parents off to meet with teachers and help in their children's schools? Another program just initiated is Race to the Top. Again, the goals are good. However, the program has created winners and losers. The criteria for selection favors large urban school districts. Iowa is not fairly treated, and we lost our bid for funding. This is wrong. All children are entitled to the best education, no matter where they live. We can create a program that is flexible, provides support for educators, establishes a system that rewards student progress, and is fully funded by the federal government. We can do it by using funding now allocated to No Child Left Behind and Race to the Top. About 30% of high school students drop out of school without earning a diploma. This is a national crisis in an economy increasingly based on critical thinking skills and technical knowledge. The federal government must support successful community interventions and reinforce programs that link students' formal education with the job market. Such programs might include scholarships in trust for at-risk students who stay in school, tax credits for small business that partner with schools to provide apprenticeships and mentoring programs. Now to higher education. We must make the dream of a college education attainable for any student who stays in school and qualifies. A college education has become a necessity, an absolute necessity for success, whether it is technical skills learned in an apprenticeship program or at a community college or a graduate degree in economics, engineering, or medicine. Unfortunately, this dream is being priced out of reach for many middle-class families. As state aid declines, tuition goes up. So our first fix should be to put people back to work so that both their finances and state revenues improve. We also need to increase funding for scholarships, grants, and loans. Some of this can come from the federal government, but we should also encourage private businesses, individuals, endowments, and foundations to increase assistance to both institutions of higher learning and to the children of their workers. The student loan reform passed by Congress this year was an excellent step in improving access, in reducing efficiencies, and in saving students' money. Community colleges are also important, providing job training for young people and new job skills for workers who've been laid off or who are seeking a new career. During the recession, enrollment in community college has skyrocketed. We should increase funding for the Perkins Career and Technical Education Program and also to expand online opportunities for learning. My opponent, Senator Grassley, does not agree. He voted to cut $12.7 million from college loans, the largest cuts to the student loan program in its history. He also voted to remove a tax deduction that has allowed 3.6 million students and families to deduct college tuition costs. These votes do not help improve access to higher education. He is, however, perfectly willing to give hundreds of thousands of dollars in tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires. The success that I have had in my life is directly related to the education that I received on scholarships and loans and grants. As I noted at the beginning, this is the American dream we all want for our children. As a senator, I will fight to keep the American dream alive for every single person. Thank you. Well, I don't want to be responsible for yet another unfunded federal mandate, and I strongly believe in local control of education. What I think the approach should be is to make funds available for those states who want to start such a program, to support such a program. And as more and more is learned about the development of our children's brains, we know that we need to start preschool education just as early as possible to take advantage of such things as the acquisition of language. Yes, and I think the thing to do is, in fact, change the income requirements. But there are also places in this country where children are qualified for Head Start and no program is available to them. Bruce?
We must impose high standards across all publicly funded early learning settings.
Right.
Isn't that the opposite of local control?
No. Bruce, would you mind taking these? When I say that we must impose standards, I mean the kind of standards that are imposed generally on any learning program that receives funds from the federal government. But it would leave lots of room for innovation, lots of room for local control and parental involvement. No, I think, Mark. Is that clear, Tom?
It looks like we're talking about a cost to Iowa teachers that's about $1 billion a year. We're not suggesting that they spend that much.
Well, I think that number is that $813 million for Iowa teachers alone? I thought that was a nationwide figure. Yeah, I think it's a nationwide. It's about $1 billion. It's almost $1 million for teachers nationwide to buy pencils and paper and school supplies for their own students in their own classroom. And that's bad enough. But then for Senator Grassley to vote not even to let those dedicated teachers take the money they spend on behalf of their students off their income taxes is just despicable.
And then do you know how many times Senator Grassley has voted for increased funding for Head Start?
I don't know, but I think the answer is zero. Can we check on that and let you know for sure, Tom? Well, I think that there are candidates now running for the United States Senate who want to abolish the Department of Education, even in the face of the fact that we have dropped behind other nations, many other nations, in terms of our educational prowess, which is a tragedy for every single student and every single parent and for the economy. So I think that abolishing the Department of Education is an extreme idea and one most people don't support. people are jealous of keeping control of the education of their own children. But everybody expects standards. Everybody expects their child to be taught to read. Everyone expects them to learn how to count and to add and subtract. That's the kind of standards that I'm talking about. I want to be sure that the money the federal government spends on education from preschool to the end of high school and on into college is spent wisely and is not being used to support programs that aren't doing what they're supposed to do.
So the federal role in education would be expanded?
Well, not really. Not really at all. There's already Head Start. What we are talking about doing is making the kind of programs available in Head Start available to other children as well. I believe that we do, Tom. It is a great investment. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It is a lifetime investment. So the advantages far outweigh by about 17 times every dollar that we spend. But again, I don't have those numbers at my fingertips. And besides, I get really confused about billions and millions. I think the evidence may be in the fact that we're outstripping Republicans in early votes by a factor of 3-1 or 4-1. And certainly I'm forced into doing something to expose my views and his views. And as long as he won't accept an opportunity to debate on television or to debate in front of an audience, then I think that the people of Iowa have a right to know what our proposals are and what our records are on the important issues of the day. And if he won't come out and talk about them, then I really don't have much choice. Anybody else? Okay.